In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 15. "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Oh, St. Paul is talking to the Corinthian community. He knows that he has proclaimed to them the gospel that he preached, and that they are to stand in faith in that gospel, by which also you were saved by the gospel, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So, you know, we have to the people, once saved, always saved. That's not what St. Paul says. You stand in this gospel by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after the manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So can you lose your salvation? Yes, you can. But you know what? I'm not thinking about that. I want to think about Jesus. I want to think about his blood. I want to think about his resurrection. "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received." Paul received this from the Lord himself. "How that Christ died for our sins in according to the scriptures." Yes, Isaiah 52. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 50, Psalm 22. Oh, yes, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once. Notice that Paul does not say he was seen by the women first, because women do not have the ability to be a witness in the courts. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't first appear to Peter. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Yes, first to Peter as the first apostle, as the leader of the 12 that the Lord chose. But first he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And Paul doesn't say that. Why? Because a woman could not witness in the courts. But to Jesus, she could witness, because Jesus said, "Go and tell my disciples that I go to meet them in the Galilee." So Jesus is not the world. The world looked at women as something less than men, but not Jesus. Jesus again appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and then he appeared to Peter, and then to the 11, and then to the 500 people. "That he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep." Isn't it interesting that he appeared to 500 at one time, but in the upper room there were only 120? Where did the 380 go? I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. You might want to keep that question to ask Jesus when you see him, but I really don't think that that'll be important then. But I have to wonder, if there were 500 people that saw him at once, and in the upper room on the day of Pentecost there were 120, well, I tell you, I don't know where the other 180 or 380 went. Have no idea. "Many remain until this present time, and some have fallen asleep." That means they've died. "After that, he was seen by James and all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen also by me as by one born out of due time. What does that mean, one born out of due time? It means a botched abortion. That's what it means. But I tell you, Jesus had plans for the Apostle Paul. Jesus had plans that he would go to the whole world and preach the gospel. Jesus had plans for him. He might have been last, but remember what Jesus says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Jesus had plans for this person, for this apostle, because he knew that he would use him in such a way that he would bring the gospel to the Gentiles. For I am the least of the apostles. He calls himself the least. Who are not worthy to be called an apostle. Not worthy. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. Not only did he persecute the church of God, but he killed people. He killed people. He put them to jail. He killed people. Why? Because the scripture says, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. And Jesus died upon a cross. And the apostles were saying, and everybody else, that Jesus was Messiah. And Paul couldn't fit into his head, how could Jesus be Messiah if he's a curse? And then Paul will tell us in 2 Corinthians, he became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. He became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's why Paul was so adamant against Christians, that he wanted them dead. How could this be Messiah? He died upon a cross. And the scripture said, cursed is the man who died upon a cross. For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But listen to the next line, verse 10. But by the grace of God, hallelujah, by the grace of God. Let me tell you, God does not look at your past to judge your future. Honest. Because if he looked at Paul, he would have seen Paul killing Christians. God does not look at your past in order to judge what you're going to be doing in the future. God looks at your present and what you are doing now. What is in the past is covered with the blood of Jesus. That's why it says he puts into the deepest ocean all of our sins. And then he puts a sign up, no fishing. No fishing for these sins. Let me just tell you this. That's why the sacrament of penance or confession is so important, just to be able to name something and under the authority of Jesus and his church to be forgiven. Under the authority of Jesus and his church to be forgiven. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yes, an apostle. And his grace in me hath not been in vain. Hallelujah. But I have labored more abundantly than everyone, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So Paul says, listen, I might be the least of the apostles, and that's I am the least of the apostles, but I'm still an apostle, and I have labored more than anyone, but it's not me that is labored only. It's the grace of God. Let me tell you, the grace of God is what we need. I need the grace of God to do this broadcast. I need the grace of God to get through the day. I need the grace of God. You need the grace of God too. I'm going to tell you, I just got a call. My brother's being admitted to the hospital. They're going to do something to his kidneys because his kidney function is very low. So I ask you to pray for him. Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, get him a room and get him the right doctors. By the grace of God, get those kidneys repaired. By the grace of God, get those lungs moving again. Deliver him from water that fills his chest. Oh, Father, we come to you for my brother. I have prayed for thousands of people. Father, we come for my brother. Do for my brother what you did for Gene. Do for my brother what you did for Gene. Please, we ask this in faith in the name of Jesus the Lord. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and that grace in me has not been in vain, but I have labored more abundantly than all the rest. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. For whether I or they, so we preach, and so you have believed. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why I'm telling you the devil wants to gag preachers. He wants to gag, you know, he doesn't, you see, listen, the sacraments are the sacraments, but you see, if you don't know and you don't believe, you don't even know what the sacraments are. Most people don't even know that Jesus Christ is truly present as Eucharist. Let me tell you why. Because the preaching mission of the church has been very poor. Who has said that? I've heard Cardinal Sean say that, that it's so important to preach in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Today I want to tell you it's very inconvenient to preach to you. You know why? Because my brother is in the hospital, and I'm so tired of suffering, and I'm really tired, but I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to preach anyway. Why? Because in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. So whether I or they, so we preach, and so you have believed. Faith cometh by hearing. Now if Christ be preached that rose again from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? They were saying that there was no resurrection of the dead, that he was risen spiritually, but not physically. You want to know why? Because they were into adulterous situations. And they said that we can do anything with our bodies. But you know, because Christ is risen from the dead spiritually, it doesn't mean bodily. In our bodies, you know, we can spiritually love Jesus, but we can do what we want with our bodies. Oh no. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That God, as it were, lives and dwells within this temple called a body. Let me tell you, that's the power of God. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not raised from the dead. And if Christ be not raised again, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And you have become the worst of all people. If Christ be preached from the dead, and he's not risen from the dead spiritually, physically, bodily, then you are still in your sins, and you are the worst of all people, believing something that didn't happen. But it did happen. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have given testimony against God that he hath raised up Jesus Christ, whom he hath not raised up, if the dead rise not again. Therefore, if Jesus is raised from the dead bodily, that means we believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come bodily, that I will be raised to a new life, a new body, a resurrection body when Christ comes again. They were saying, no, that's not true. It's only going to be spiritual. Let me tell you, that's why the sacraments are so important. They're not only spiritual. There's things that we can touch. We can touch bread and wine because Jesus became a human being, and now he gives himself as food, bread and wine, but no longer bread, no longer wine. That's why when someone is anointed, oil is something that we can touch, but the glorious experience of God comes through that which we can touch. Confirmation, again, oil, and baptism, water and oil. Let me tell you that God works through these elements, but it is direly important that people are preached to, that they come to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross out of love for them, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead out of love for them. This is so important. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have given testimony against God, and he hath raised up Christ, whom he hath not raised up, if the dead are not raised up again. So therefore, Paul says, if the dead are not raised up again, then Jesus hasn't really been raised up. For if the dead rise not again, neither is Christ risen again. And if Christ is not risen again, your faith is in vain, and you are still in your sins. And they also that have fallen asleep, those are the ones that died in Christ, they have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, most pitiable. But now, hallelujah, Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. What does that mean, first fruits? Well, I'm going to tell you, first fruits. Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. They are the sweetest fruits. If you have tomatoes, the first fruit that comes, oh, it's so sweet. But it also tells you there's going to be a harvest of all the rest of the tomatoes. That Jesus is the first fruits, and we are the harvest. Oh, and we have been bought with the price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, never forget that, beloved, that you have been bought with the price, that I have been bought with the price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been bought with the price. Hear the word of the Lord. You might not think yourself worthy of anything, but you are worthy of the blood of Christ. You might have received an F in life, but God gives you an A+ through the blood of the Lamb, through the precious blood of Jesus. For by man came death, that's Adam, and by man the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus. And as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be alive. Oh, there will be a glorious resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, what about the people that have scattered ashes? I don't know, but I know God is able to get those ashes, and he's able to make something out of where they're all scattered. The body will be the seed of the resurrection. God won't find it difficult. I told you the story about burying Mr. Adams or Mr. Smith, whatever his name was, and he was in ashes in a vase, and we were going to bury him, and the guy that worked in the cemetery said, God's going to have a hard time putting this guy back together again. He believed in the resurrection of the dead. At least he did at one time. I said, oh, and the Lord will have no trouble. He said, you really believe that stuff? I said, I stake my life on it. He was trying to poke fun of the resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, we are the most foolish of all people. And the dead that are sleeping in Christ are the deadest of the dead, let me tell you. But Christ has been raised from the dead, because for by a man came death, by a man came the resurrection of the dead. And as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but everyone in his own order. The first fruits, Christ, then they that are of Christ, those who believe, who have believed in his coming, afterwards the end, when he, Jesus Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God and the Father, when he shall have brought to naught all principalities and powers and virtues, for he must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet, until Satan and all the principalities that follow Satan are put under his feet. And the last enemy, and the enemy death, shall be destroyed last. The last enemy is death. Let me tell you, death will be that last enemy that Jesus Christ destroys. We must remember that we were never born to die. The only one that was born to die was Jesus, and he was born to die, and he was raised on a cross out of love for you, and he rose from the dead out of love for you. We were never born to die, but we do die, and we shall be raised up with Christ. How do I know it? Because the Bible tells me so. Do you really believe that? I believe it. I told you when my father died, it was the first time I saw someone die. I remember the words that came out of my mouth. I had a sword in my heart, but I remember saying these words: I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. There was my father with his mouth open, you know, dead as dead can be. And I made an act of faith. Was I feeling it? I was feeling nothing. I was feeling only sadness that my poor father had gone, and that I had prayed for so many people and they were made well, and now my father is gone. But I stated to Jesus, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. For Jesus must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And he hath put all things under his feet, whereas he says, all things are put under him. Undoubtedly, he is expected to put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Christ, then the Son also himself shall be subject unto him, and put all things under him, and God may be all in all. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait for that day. But we must stand in faith. Remember what Paul said, that I made known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, where you stand in it. That this gospel by which you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So, we need to stand in the gospel. We need to stand in the reality of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who was buried, and who rose from the dead. Otherwise, what shall they do that baptized for the dead? Well, this is what the Mormons do. They baptize for the dead. If the dead rise not again at all, why are they then baptized for them? Why also are we in danger every hour? I die daily. I protest by your glory, brethren, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. If according to man I fought with beasts at Ephesus, and doth it profit me if the dead rise not again? Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. If the dead do not rise again, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Why were the Corinthians saying that they did not believe in a physical resurrection of the saints, of the believers? Because they were engaged in sexual perverse depravity. And they were saying, you know, I can do what I want with my body, but you know what? The body's not going to rise anyway. It's only going to be the spirit. And St. Paul says, if the body of people do not rise, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, we are the most foolish of all people, and the dead are the deadest of the dead. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he has appeared to Simon Peter, but first of all, he appeared to Mary Magdalena. Hallelujah, because love beckoned Jesus to Mary Magdalene. It was Mary Magdalene who came early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, tomorrow we're going to find out why people don't recognize Jesus. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. You can read it yourself. You don't need me to read it to you. So 1 Corinthians 15, you can read it yourself. Why people do not at first recognize Jesus. We see that Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener. That's right. Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener. And the two men on the road to Emmaus didn't know who this stranger was until he broke the bread, until he celebrated the Eucharist. Yes, the breaking of the bread was the earliest way of talking about eating his body and drinking his blood, the Eucharist. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel. Let's pray for my brother. We're going to hold up Jesus for the sake of his sorrowful passion. Have mercy on him and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and on the whole world. We pray that Saint Anthony would keep him and would protect him. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on him and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on him and on the whole world. Bring him through this, Lord. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on him and on the whole world. Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on him and on the whole world. I would be very grateful if you would send me an Easter resurrection gift so that we can pay our bills. You know, people call me and they tell me, I listen every morning and I pray for you, and I'm so happy you pray for me, because you know what? I could not do this work without your prayers. But I cannot do this work without money either, because it costs about $100,000 just to be on WROL and WEZE. I'm on WEZE every morning at 11:15, 9:45 in the evening, and 3 o'clock in the morning. So it costs lots of money to keep me on the air. So if you could send me a resurrection gift, I would be very grateful. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be praised. May Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, be praised. May Jesus Christ, who was buried, be praised. May Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, be praised. May Jesus Christ, who ascended into heaven, be praised. All praise and honor belong to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Until now, until eternity, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.